Hey guys, good afternoon. A little bit later start than usual today, but today is what? What is today? August 4th. It is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. It's been a hell of a day, but it's only going to get better. I am wearing this shirt for multiple reasons. One, the shirt is my homage. They do amazing stuff. Great stuff. Great company out of Columbus. But this also will signify how I'm feeling about Roger Goodell. So plenty of this show is going to be talking about the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, the NFL, and what is going on. So lots and lots and lots of news, I guess, out there with the Browns and with just the NFL in general, but we're going to mostly stick with the Deshaun Watson stuff. We'll lead off with that in just a minute here. So in case you haven't heard, Sue L. Robinson, who was convening with, she was the independent arbiter put in place by the NFL, appointed by the NFL, a former federal court judge, was put into place and, took hearings from the NFL. I believe they met with Deshaun Watson's reps. They met with NFL reps and several of the women in the, Deshaun Watson sexual misconduct cases. So apparently there was five women they focused on. One of the women dropped, so it became down to four women. This was, by the way, in June. We're now in August, so this was well over 6 weeks ago. So the ruling finally came down Monday that it would be a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, which I think everyone, there was a lot of people, you were either really happy with it or you weren't really happy with it, or depending on which, if you're a Browns fan or a Steelers fan or an NFL fan or however you might feel about this off the field, there was a lot of negative publicity both ways for this. I know Deshaun Watson's camp was not happy with 6 games. They think it should be lesser or even none. The NFL was pushing for an indefinite suspension, and obviously 6 was not good enough for them. So here we are. The NFL had 3 days to appeal, and they did so last night. And here we are now. We're in limbo, and the Cleveland Browns are in limbo. Deshaun Watson's in limbo. The NFL's in limbo. And we have an NFL football game tonight in the 330, which actually is really cool. The first NFL game of the year is always in Canton, right down the road. But sticking with the Deshaun Watson thing, the NFL could have just, and Joe, I'm going to bring you in on this, the NFL could have just made this go away by accepting it. And yeah, they might have taken a little bit of a PR hit, but it would have been out of the news cycle in a couple weeks. Now, if you read Sue Robinson's report, and I didn't read the whole 15-page report, but I read, little snippets of it in there. She basically sided with the NFL. However, she said, you have a lot of precedent set. This was a, this is a slippery slope here, but she basically said this is a non-violent crime or non-violent actions, I should say, that were committed. And by the letter of the law, and this is a former federal judge who is probably as by the book as it gets, is saying your precedent is 6 games, with other cases and whatnot. So she was basically saying, I'm not changing that. It was, that was how it's all been before. So your thoughts on, I guess, the situation as a whole, her ruling and then the NFL appealing.
This is madness and it's stupid. So what's the difference between the NFL just making the decision and putting it through this pseudo decision making that they can overrule anyway? So like, right. I don't mind if maybe the NFL reaches out to someone who does this for a living and gets an advisory thing, but mm-hmm. you do that behind closed doors.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So then they recommend, hey, I would do 6 months. And then you take that information and then the NFL does their thing, but having it be a public part where anybody can mock it because it didn't right. carry any weight to it. It was meaningless.
Exactly. Now, this was collectively bargained. So in their last collective bargain session, which I believe was in 2020, you know, the players union, who is going to probably sue if there's more games tacked on or a fine or whatever, this will probably end up pretty ugly in federal court.
For sure.
Could end up airing the dirty laundry of some of the owners, Jerry Jones, the guy from Washington, his name's escaping me, but he is not a good human being. We'll just put it that way. But, you know, again, there's so many moving parts to this. And like you said, the NFL appointed this person. Now they're appealing it because they didn't like it. So they.
But what about this? Let me suggest. Yeah, yeah. What if this is theater? Okay. Mm-hmm. So for instance, they kicked back a 6-game deal, right? And no matter what would happen, it would feel like the NFL wasn't taking women's situation seriously.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
So what if now the NFL comes and doesn't put any more time, but maybe they put a monetary fine on it. Now it looks like they, you know, they kept the suspension where it was, because I think 6 games is reasonable.
Yeah.
Maybe the $0 fine was not as right. reasonable, but it allows the NFL to then up it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if they just put monetary, I bet you it doesn't end up in a federal court that way.
Interesting. That's an interesting way of thinking about this. And several other ideas I have heard is obviously the NFL wants to look tough on this. And, you know, this is sports, you know, but sports are bigger than just sports, especially when it's in the public persona. Now, obviously, Deshaun Watson is guilty in the court of public opinion,
for sure.
Even though we do not know all the complete details. Now, a lot of them are out there, and this isn't the prettiest and most fun topic to talk about, but it's out there, and this is a team we root for, and it's something that needs to be brought up. So my thinking on this is a lot of what you have said, and we've already touched on, is the NFL put it out there of appointing this judge. It went to the judge. She took several weeks to come up with her findings, and the NFL basically was like, let's see how this plays out in the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It doesn't look good for us, even though she is technically not a part of the NFL. She's an independent arbiter, but they're coming back and saying, well, let's appeal it to ourselves and let's see if we get something we like better. So the whole process is just BS.
It is.
So why even appoint her if I don't get it? I really don't get it.
In response to your Robert Kraft, I think it's as likely that Robert Kraft's dirty laundry comes out as the Epstein list comes out of this. So that's my official.
Interesting. There's a lot. We're going conspiracy theory rabbit hole there.
You know it.
So, yeah, Robert Kraft and Daniel Snyder is the other guy I was trying to think of in Washington, who is he's been a black eye for the league. He's been a lot of really unsavory news and information out there.
So, question for you. So when you're an owner, do you draw resources off of the league? I mean, is it like you get your compensation based on your ticket sales, but do you pull any like TV money back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they're what they're saying then, if you did the same thing that a player did, you're still drawing from the league. So they've got total control over.
Now, NFL, this is, I don't know if this was just coincidence or whatever, but yesterday, Stephen Ross, who is the owner of the Miami Dolphins, they were found to be tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton, who had both technically retired at the time or not retired, but were under contracts with their current team. He got slapped with a hefty fine and suspended, ironically, 6 games by the NFL for, and they were stripped of a draft pick, two draft picks, a first rounder next year and a third rounder as well. So that's
retired players are still under contract for stuff.
Well, Tom Brady.
Okay.
Tom Brady. So he was, if you retire and you still have remaining contracts out there, if you come back, you're technically under contract by that team still. So, okay. So I just found that very interesting, the timing of all of it with the NFL coming down pretty harshly on an owner to make it look like, hey, well, see, we came down hard on an owner. It's like, well, yeah, are you doing that to save face? And I don't want to bring in the race component of this too, but if Deshaun Watson was Tom, you know, and again, I'm not defending Deshaun Watson, but if he was a white quarterback, would this be as, you know, out there? If he was a higher profile, a Tom Brady type, and again, I'm not putting Tom Brady in the same sentence off the field as Deshaun Watson, but I'm just saying it doesn't seem apples to apples with all this stuff. And from a fan's perspective, you know, when this happened with Roethlisberger, I believe it was a 6-game suspension that was put down to 4. And, you know, and again, I know there's a lot more women, but what he was accused of versus sexual misbehavior, I guess you could say. Yeah, you could say Deshaun Watson has some pervy tendencies and some maybe inappropriate actions, but it's not the R word. You know what I mean?
But and we will never know the details because they were settled. It'll always be in that specter of what, you know, what happened.
Sure.
And I'm sure they'll massage some details out of it later on. You see what I did there? But it might not give him the
touchy,
happy ending.
It's a touchy subject. Damn it, Joe.
Wait, I
trying to have a serious conversation.
I got to get out the last one. It's not going to give him the happy ending he was looking for. That was number two.
No. I was, you know... No pun intended here. I was hoping for a happy ending, biasly as a Browns fan.
Yes.
But, you know, it's...
I'm sorry. No.
That was good. I don't honestly know what to make of this. And I hope you're right. Maybe maybe Deshaun Watson, I think part of this could be, again... a little bit of what's posturing by the league, and maybe you get a heftier penalty. Maybe he has to give up the money that he was paid last year, and that money should not go to the NFL. It should go to women's groups, centers.
That would be a good response.
Exactly. Really. So
do you want to update your prediction when this all shakes out? Do you want to update your prediction about what ends up happening?
I want to let it play out before I make any calls, because I actually said it was going to be 6 games and it was 6 games. And now
you're technically right.
I agree with a very smart independent federal arbiter. However, Roger Goodell is a jerk. He's a clown. He honestly is. The NFL is an absolute giant that can compete in any industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry. But it's just not they've made a mess of this situation. And Deshaun, and again, I'm not defending him. He should be punished. Whether that's, you know, I just think the 6 games, I thought that was what the judge decided. And I feel like that's what it should be. But again, you know, people that are watching this that might be a Bengals fan or a Steeler fan or a Ravens fan or whatever might be like, well, that's your Browns fan talking. And yeah, it probably is. However, if this was Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, you know, I feel like it should be whatever that independent arbiter came up with and decided, that's what they should levy the fine and the penalty. So that's where we're at. And unfortunately, I wanted to talk more Browns football on the field, but, you know, this is where we're at. And, you know, it is never, ever, ever easy being a Browns fan, ever.
No,
it's just not.
Even when it should be, it ain't.
Yeah. And like, you know, and I get again, too, you know, we had Baker for a while. He was injured last year, got banged up. Not the quarterback we thought he would be. Goes to Carolina now, and you bring in Deshaun Watson, and you knew there was going to be some PR hits and a suspension at some point, but it's just not easy. And like, you know, guys like Deshaun Watson, strictly from a football perspective, there's not very many of them. And I think of the Browns, their job is Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, the Haslams, whatever you might think of them, their job is to put the best product on the field for the fans. The fans, it's not their job to weigh morality and whatever, because you go back through history, there's a lot of bad dudes out there that people have rooted for. O.J. Simpson, Jim Brown, just a ton of other people. I mean, Kareem Hunt made a mistake. He, you know, the one of the highest paid receivers, Tyreek Hill, Ben Roethlisberger. You go on and on and on and on. I mean, you can go hundreds of years back, or 100 years back too. Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, not the greatest people on and off the court or field or whatever. And, you know, we celebrate these guys, but everybody's human and everybody makes mistakes, whether you agree with it or not. And man, it's just, we thought we had a resolution and it's just still an ugly situation. So
the metaphor that I'd use is that, you know, the Browns take some risks with people where, mm-hmm. and I'm the metaphor is that y'all know the guy that buys penny stocks, right?
Oh yeah.
But every once in a while, somebody will have a story about one of those penny stocks that actually work out sure. into their benefit. But the Browns buy penny stocks that go to zero. It's like, you know, here's what's the wide receiver that couldn't stop smoking
weed? Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. Yeah. He's another one. Like, right. Hey, we're going to get this guy. He's a phenomenal talent on the field, but he probably won't work out. And he didn't, like, in five different iterations of
right.
not working
right.
out. And this Watson thing feels a lot like that, where you want to buy into a skill set, but you're like, look at all this stuff that's working against him actually sure. being on the field.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and again, this is not you're not out. And by all accounts too, Deshaun Watson is really well liked in the Clemson community. Outside of the massage therapist, he was really well liked in the Houston community, gave a lot of money back to hurricane relief there, did a lot of stuff back at Clemson and his home state. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. You know, he has obviously some things that need fixed, you know, and I, you know, everybody out there probably has their quirks and whatever, but are they doing it in a wrong way? It sounds like, you know, he was a guy that was looking more maybe for like a prostitution than a massage. And maybe some of those massages were legit, maybe some were not, but this is where we're at. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I thought it was put to bed, and as a Browns fan, you could just root for the team that gives you a little bit of distraction from the real world on Sundays. But this is where we're at on August 4th, talking about non-football stuff with the Cleveland Browns.
Are you sick of the name Watson at this point?
You know what? No, like I honestly wish I could just talk about it from a football perspective and a Cleveland Browns perspective, but it's getting a little bit tiring, and I can only imagine how some of the teammates and Stefanski. I was saying the other day, because I was at training camp on Tuesday, I wish I had the calmness of Kevin Stefanski, because that guy doesn't show an ounce of frustration or aggravation or anxiety or anything like that. If I was being constantly pelted with these questions, and he's great because he's got the constant candor of I'm going to let that play out. You know, we're going to, with respect to that situation, we're going to let the proceedings play out, and we're going to do what we do from a football perspective here. Like, he gives a great answer every time. And from a media perspective, you're probably frustrated with that, but from a Browns perspective and a PR perspective, he does the best job. But, you know, I'm sure like Myles Garrett and Amari Cooper and Nick Chubb and people like that who are the faces of the franchise are getting a little bit frustrated having to answer that when, you know, they want Deshaun, they have no choice who their teammates are. But, you know, you get a guy like Deshaun Watson. This is a team that really could compete for a Super Bowl.
Right.
It really, you know, and again, a lot of things have to break right and whatever. But this is a team with a ton of talent. But you take away a top 5 to 10 quarterback in this league, and suddenly, you know, you take a great defense and a very good offense, and it kind of brings you back to the middle of the pack. And, you know, you're going to be fighting and scrapping for wins when maybe you could be a 12 win team. You might be an 8 win team now, you know, and it's frustrating from a fan's perspective. And I think as Browns fans, we deserve a little bit better.
We've had enough.
We really have. I mean, you know, we've been through the drive, the fumble. We've been through the decision with LeBron.
If, you know what? The drive and the fumble, if that was our biggest season downside, I'll take it. Like, at least they were in the show, right?
Yeah, they were in the AFC Championship game. Right. And, like, that's where this team is hoping to get to and have an opportunity to take that. But it's just really, 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 really frustrating from a fan perspective because – oh, and there's one other thing I want to make a point of. I cannot remember. I want to say it was Joe Banner who called out and said the Browns fans are just, you know, awful for rooting for this guy and this team. Or, you know, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but paraphrasing something like that. No one, and I mean no one, should be able to tell a fan who grew up rooting for this team how to feel. You know, you mean to tell me you're not going to root for Myles Garrett if you're a Browns fan, or, you know, take your pick, Nick Chubb, probably the most likable guy in the NFL, you know. Now, again, Deshaun Watson, whatever you might think of him, he is a player on the Browns. And if you were a fan of the team before him, and you will be after, you're going to be a fan of the Cleveland Browns if you're you're there. So he said something about like some of the kids or some of the people at training camp or whatever going up and getting his autograph. These kids don't know any better. Like, let them go get an autograph. This is a former, you know, national championship winning college quarterback who's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and is the quarterback of their favorite team. Let them get their autographs, let them meet them or whatever. And, you know, and at the end of the day, if you know, you don't agree with it, like, talk to their parents. Don't talk to the fans about that. So it is what it is.
Can I ask you some camp stuff? Or
please.
Am I not going to ruin any segments?
No. I think we need to turn the page on that. Yeah.
All right. So what was any surprises? Anybody that was on the field, either rookies or otherwise, that jumped out at you as having, you know, some verve to their step?
Yeah. You know what? First of all, it was a really cool experience. Berea, it's Baldwin Wallace is the campus that's right around there. But it just feels like you're in like an old time suburban town. It feels like you're walking around a small college campus, which you really are. It's Baldwin Wallace.
Right in front of a house, like it's in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah, and they got the like the brown and orange line in the streets and stuff like that. It just has like a picnic type atmosphere, very family friendly. Ton of like dogs to adopt and shelter dogs and stuff like that. A lot of stuff for kids to do. So if you're a Browns fan, a Steelers fan, whatever, definitely go to those camps because it's really cool. And if you have kids or nieces or nephews, take them. But to answer your question, I thought the rookie Martin Emerson, he's a corner. He got into it a little bit with Donovan Peoples-Jones on the day I was there. And I like to see that a little bit. Like, you don't want guys hurting each other, taking cheap shots. But I liked it. They were talking a little trash and getting into it. I thought that was really cool. But just seeing, I thought Watson looked good. I thought Brissett looked pretty good. The defense as a whole looked pretty good. So there's a lot. And the kicker, man, Cade York, I only saw him kick one ball, but it just sounds different coming off his foot. So But I was telling Joe too before, by the way, I came in, I was sitting up in the bleachers and I have a hat line because people know me as like a backwards hat kind of guy, and had the nice hat line through on a very, very warm day in Berea, Ohio. But yeah, thought
you
it was
see,
cool.
Did you see the Amari Cooper incident by chance?
That was the day before. Okay. So he was doing some stuff on the side, riding the bike and, you know, just like doing free weights and stuff like that. So he did not practice the day I was there. So, okay. Yeah, hopefully he's all right. But the Browns, really, three of their best receivers are out right now. Nothing serious, but you have Cooper, who I think came back to practice yesterday. David Bell, the rookie, who they drafted, should be back soon. And then their rookie draft pick from last year, Anthony Schwartz, has a hamstring or something that is nagging. So he's been out the first, you know, a few days of camp. So
let me tell you, I don't know if it's still like this. This was many years ago, but on the field, they had these trailers that were the restrooms that they brought in.
Yeah, yeah.
And the restrooms, both the public used and the players did. So players would come off the field. So people were lining up waiting for a player to go in the restroom and then be in there with them were there. And I was in there. Like, I didn't go in there specifically for it, but Joe Thomas came in at the time and pissed right next to me. I didn't look or anything. Right. But it was the weirdest, most awkward thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Restroom with these players.
Well, I didn't know. I think it's different now where they go back into the facility if they need to, Lamar Jackson style, you know? Right. So that was definitely quarantined off where you don't have that much access to the players. But it's really neat because they, you know, they'll talk to you. They do some rookie hazing, like some friendly stuff where they make rookies go over and like start getting the fans like riled up and stuff like that. And that's pretty neat. So, yeah, definitely saw all that. But like the biggest takeaway I have is just, and I was, you know, not super close, but some of the size and just like, I mean, these guys are built differently, and, you know, and a lot of the guys, you know, you look at them and okay. Yeah. You know, they're big dudes. They're in the NFL, but like you look at a Myles Garrett or a Jadeveon Clowney or a Nick Chubb, and they are just built different. And you can see why they're as good as they are just because of that talent.
You can take, when you're watching a game, the smallest guy that you can see out in that field and stand next to him and you'll feel pretty
insignificant. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, just the size of some of these guys is enormous. And your guy, Joe Thomas, was there and he was doing some stuff for, I believe, ESPN Cleveland. And he's probably 200 pounds now, but he is like completely jacked. So I don't know what he's doing lifting, but he's like eating well, but he has dropped a ton of weight and he is, but he is still jacked. So
is he eating Wisconsin cheese? Is that what he's still doing? Cause I think that's the key.
Well, there's a lot of fat in that Wisconsin cheese. So I don't know. Maybe he's, having the low cal cheese. So yeah, but you know, all in all, great experience up at training camp and very cool. And hopefully again, we can get back to like football talk and have some closure to this sooner than later. And hopefully, like we said, you know, one last comment on the Deshaun thing is, maybe they can come up with some sort of resolution behind the scenes. So this doesn't drag out like, hey, you know, we'll pay a heftier fine, you know, we'll add a game on the suspension, something like that, and then just be done with it and everybody can move on. And, you know, and I'm sure like these women who are affected by this too don't want to drag it on either. And apparently all but one lawsuit too has been closed.
Right.
So all the civil lawsuits. So there is the only one remaining from what I understand. So
all right. So we are gonna have to, you know, pay attention to Jacoby Brissett. He's going to be our guy going into it. So watching him during the practice there, what feeling do you get about his reps?
He's not the same guy. No. He's good. He's a serviceable, good backup quarterback who will now be your starter. And I feel comfortable, I would say, up to 8 games with him being the starter.
Really? Okay.
I think that's up good. To 8 games. If he's your starter for more than half the season, I think you're going to have to everything's going to have to break right. You're going to have to scratch, claw, and fight to get in the playoffs.
Is that because like they'll learn your playbook by then, or he's going to be limited as far as the offense he can run?
I think he's just limited to what he can do comparable to Deshaun. I think he will be a better version of Baker was last year, but probably not quite to the 2020 Baker. So somewhere in between there. But the one good thing with him, he's not going to turn the ball over a ton. He is going to manage the game, and he can scramble and move around a little bit too. Okay, so
the managed games are tough to watch.
I know. Really, I know they're going to rely a lot on the run game and the defense, especially early on. Mm-hmm. So we shall see, but you know, we're in August. We're about a week away from the first, for our first preseason game, so that's where we're at. So let's see what happens. So obviously, right now your depth chart at quarterback, Deshaun Watson would be your starter one back from suspension. Jacoby Brissett is your backup, but will start the season. And no matter what happens with this, you know, appeal, Deshaun will be out the first six games. That's already like a done deal. So you're looking at Jacoby Brissett minimum six games to start the season. Hopefully that's it if you're a Browns fan, but we'll see. Josh Dobbs and Josh Rosen are fighting for that final, you know, third string quarterback, but who would be the backup? Now, one other thing you have to consider, if this suspension goes any longer than eight games, I think you got to look at making a trade and bringing in another quarterback, or the 49ers could possibly release Jimmy Garoppolo and you sign him up, you bring him in. And again, a very serviceable quarterback, and because none of his money in San Francisco is guaranteed. So if they cut him, he's out there as a free agent, you bring him in. And, but you know, again, it's so late in training camp just started last week, but by the time you make a trade and bring somebody in, you know, you're already into the second, third week of training camp, and the season, I believe, September 11th. So, you know, you still got 5 weeks. Yeah, until,
and the guy you might ultimately sign might not even have been released, or you might even know who he's going to be. Once you start trimming your roster down, you might see some names that you could definitely sign.
Exactly. So, you know, usually at the quarterback position, that's going to be a very tough position. And you know, the Browns have given up so many assets for Watson that you want to hold on to a lot of those assets going forward. So if you could get somebody on the cheap, or you can get somebody for a late round draft pick, you might want to look at that option. But this is where we're at right now. And, you know, fingers crossed that they can get something done, and or the suspension isn't held over their heads all training camp. So we'll see there. Okay, let's just switch gears real quick. I do want to let you guys know that we'll be covering plenty of the Cleveland Browns, but also plenty of the Ohio State Buckeyes this fall. You know, we're going to go in depth each game, but they obviously kick off the season September 3rd, 1 month from yesterday. They kick off against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in Columbus. So going to be a great, great, great game to start off the year. And, you know, we'll see what goes from there. But a lot of great expectations in Columbus this season. High hopes for the Buckeyes. All right. A couple sad notes in the sports world over the, you know, past few days to last week. But arguably the greatest basketball player of all time passed away at the age of 88 this past week, Bill Russell. Bill Russell is highly considered the greatest winner in all of sports. I'm going to show you some of his accolades here in a minute, but just a couple quick little notes that I've learned about Bill Russell over the years. First of all, obviously a black basketball player in Boston in a time when civil rights were not in place in America. A very tough, you know, he had to deal with a lot of crap off the court, and all while being the greatest player in the NBA, you know, at the time. So A couple other cool stories, though, were at the age of 88, like I said, passed away. But he, even at his advanced age, could basically take you through a game from 20, 30 years ago and put it on, and he could tell you the play that was going to happen next. He had a photographic memory, and he was a player coach for the Boston Celtics, and just a great, great player, a great person. He loved his teammates loved him. And, this next list I'm going to show you of champions, not everybody on this list was felt like that. So these are the list of NBA players with four or more NBA championships and multiple MVPs. So you're going to recognize most of the names on this list, if not all of them. Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Tim Duncan, LeBron James, and Steph Curry. All those players had four or more championships or two or more MVP trophies during their career. Bill Russell, 11 championships, and could have won his 12th, but sprained his ankle in, I believe it was his final season, only played 13 seasons, excuse me. But again, the travel in the NBA was not first class like it is today. Mm-hmm. These guys were flying coach a lot of times, segregated, being African Americans away from white players and even in the public, and unfortunate that he had to deal with that. Just dealing with nagging injuries, travel, stuff like that, not having the current medical stuff that we have today, unfortunately, or he could have played a lot longer, but always beat up on Will Chamberlain. And, again, Will go down as, to me, the greatest winner in all of sports history, and should be celebrated for it. So rest in peace to Bill Russell, a true icon and a Boston Celtic captain and former coach. So we wish the best for him and his family. Also, another legend of the game. This one did not even take the field, but if you would know Vin Scully, he is considered to be on the Mount Rushmore of Dodgers, and that's going back to Brooklyn to LA. The Dodgers put out some great words about him, but he was a little bit before my time, some of his biggest moments. But if you've ever watched For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, it's a great movie. He is the baseball announcer in that movie. He's been in a bunch of other stuff, but some of his most memorable calls, first of all, he called Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run over that surpassed Babe Ruth, his 715th home run. That was in 1974. The legendary Kirk Gibson walk-off home run in game one of the 1988 World Series. He called Sandy Koufax's perfect game in 1965. Don Larson's perfect game in game five of the 1956 World Series. He called Bill Buckner's error in game six of the 1986 World Series. And also he called Barry Bonds' record 71st home run. So just an absolute legend of the game, a great voice, and just will forever be remembered as such an important person for the Dodgers, who never even suited up for the Dodgers. So rest in peace to Vin Scully. One of the greatest announcers of all time. Moving on, we had some news out of Russia today. Not something commonly said on this show, but Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years in Russian prison. Now, that doesn't mean she's going to prison for 9 years. This is a, I don't know what you want to call it. This is a government type ploy, and as we all know, the United States and Russia do not have, are not the friendliest of allies, or, you know, whatever you want to say. But she was sentenced to 9 years. And Joe, we talked about this for basically, you know, nothing. Basically having, what did you say it was again?
Well, I think they updated it. They said hashish oil is what they had, which is a controlled substance. It's not, it's a little bit worse than what we thought before, which was CBD oil.
Sure.
But they hit her with distribution when she had a very little, you know, for consumption type of. But they hit her with distribution.
Oh, man.
Not a good thing.
No, no. And she's been here's to tell you how long she's been in Russia. So she has been in Russia since before the Ukraine war started, which was sometime in February. So she has been over there for 7+ months and hopefully we'll be able to get out. Now, this is obviously a big piece of news for our government, for the Russian, you know, and there's a whole lot going on in the world right now, but they talked about, you know, getting back another American and Griner for your, the Russian arms dealer that we talked about,
Dr. Death, who or whatever his name is,
not a good dude. So, the United States does not want to get involved in making these kind of trades regularly, but, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation that she got caught up in and unfortunately is still over in Russia, but hopefully is back.
The only end soon. I'm cheering for is if they send SEAL Team 6 in there and extract her by just blowing everything
up. Wouldn't that be a cool
filming the whole thing?
It feels like a movie plot.
It does.
Yeah,
right?
It feels like that's a, you know, you have a generic player X over there stuck in Russia, you know, the Kremlin's all cracking down on it, the KGB.
Tom Clancy's writing this out right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. It feels like a novel that will be turned into a movie someday. So I think Joe just could sell you the script right now.
It.
So, or you'd be your showrunner. We'll switch to a little bit more positive news to kind of end the show here. The Guardians right now are sitting at 54-50. They are only one game back of the Minnesota Twins in the American League Central, and they are only one game back in the wild card standings of the American League. So,
is that a real picture? Like they did a real picture?
That picture is actually from Major League.
Yeah,
do you remember?
I do.
And then he goes by Reflog on Twitter. He's a good dude. He's hilarious, but he does a lot of funny Photoshop. So
they should totally do a marketing shot like that.
Oh,
recreate
I know.
It.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Especially if they're in first place towards the end of the season, you got to make something happen like that before the playoffs. Bump those ticket sales up, but
you know it.
They are a young, fun team that's doing a lot of good stuff. And let's not forget, they are so young that there's going to be ebbs and flows, as there always are with a young team. So
they're exciting still.
Speaking of the opposite of young, let's go to Tom Brady, who has turned 45 years old today and will still be a quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His goal was always to make it to 45. He made it there. So let's see if he ups that number and has a goal. So I don't know. Some days I get out of bed at 41 and I'm like, man, I'm like, can you pull a hamstring without actually running like today? And, you know, you just get these aches and pains. And I can't imagine, like, you know, Tom Brady's actually had one of the best years of his career last year by the numbers. So, I mean, he is not slowing down at that old age.
Well,
so.
I'm telling you, though, that if you had a line like his that protects him from those 300 pounders, you might be willing to do
that. That's true. That's
45
true.
45 for a 300 pounder to land on top of you. Yeah, I'm checking out.
Oh,
I'm
retired. Yeah. Well, and unfortunately for Tom Brady, I saw in the last couple of days, they've lost two of their offensive linemen to injuries.
Yeah.
Their center.
Retire for this year.
Yeah. So maybe he'll sit out this coming year. So we'll see. And then finally, I want to end on this. This is always so cool because, you know, you see it from my hat, the 330, the name of the show, the 330 Sports Show. We're in the same area code as Canton. Canton's about a 50-minute drive from us, about 45 minutes up the road, down 76, or, you know, you go 224 to 225 to 62 and you end up in Canton. But it's really, really cool that the first NFL game to kick off the new season is always right here in the 330. So Canton, the birthplace of football. Tonight you got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is kind of a cool note. The Las Vegas Raiders coach, Josh McDaniels, played high school football right there at Camp McKinley High School.
Oh, nice.
So his dad was a former coach there. So very cool. Kind of brings it all together. So
do you remember that one Hall of Fame game where the field was jacked up in some way? Yes. And it was like falling apart or whatever?
It was like melting almost.
Yeah. How many years ago was that?
Probably about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they've had some other issues there. But with that, they put a lot of money into that stadium. And it's the Camp McKinley Bulldogs that play on that field, like, throughout the regular season. But, you know, it's pretty cool to bring a couple NFL teams to, I mean, it's not really a high school football stadium. It's made for that. And a high school football team plays.
If your
there.
High school was big enough to almost be a college, then
right, right, yeah, exactly. But Walsh University, who's in Canton, doesn't have that kind of facility. You know, it's just really cool that the NFL, like, I will say, that's the one thing the NFL is doing well there. You know, that I kind of was on the NFL earlier on. So,
you know, it would be cool too. Like, if you were a kid playing on that field and mm-hmm. you know that NFL players were standing in that same position, that'd be a cool feeling.
I actually, it wasn't on that field, but it was on a separate field. But when I was younger, I think I was like 10 or 11 years old, I actually got to compete in a punt, pass, and kick thing because I won like my age division in Boardman. And then like your district or regional or whatever it was at the Hall of Fame. And I got to do that. And, you know, I didn't do very well there, but I thought that was kind of a cool experience. Just want to reiterate the class of 2022 that's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. Tony Baselli, a former left tackle for the Jaguars. Cliff Branch, wide receiver for the Raiders. Obviously, you know, those two guys will be representing the teams that are playing tonight. Leroy Butler, a safety for the Green Bay Packers. Sam Mills, a linebacker for the Saints and the Panthers. Richard Seymour, Bryant Young, who I actually got to meet this past May. Great guy. And then Dick Vermeil, former coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and St. Louis Rams. And then Art McNally, an official and administrator for the NFL. So congratulations to those players and people. And, you know, just an awesome thing for the city of Canton and just the state of Ohio in general. And then the final note I got today is, we are in the month of August. College football starts this month. So a very exciting time of year. Ohio State, as I mentioned, will kick off September 3rd against Notre Dame. YSU will kick off against Duquesne in about a month as well. So a lot to look forward to. It's going to be a busy time, but we're going to have a lot of fun stuff to keep you covered. We will have the NFL. We will have the Browns, obviously, plenty of that. We'll have the Buckeyes. And we're going to bring back some of our friends that know the high school football teams a little bit better than I do around this area. And we're going to spotlight some of those high school teams, coaches, and players. So I'll let you know more about that as we get closer to the season kickoff. So for Joe, I'm Justin. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.